Okay, today's daf is Nun Tet. We're going to start in a spot at the Mishnah. Yesh tu'unot shemen u'levona. Shemen v'lo levona, levona v'lo shemen, lo levona v'lo shemen. This is a classic Mishnah structure where it tells you there's four options. We've seen this many times. You can have all the different combinations and permutations, which we're going to have later in the parak also. For example, yesh tu'unot hagasha ve'en tu'unot te'nufa. And then there's, you know, all the different options there of whether you need that or that. Okay, that's what we're going to have. So now we're going to talk about some of the menachot need shemen and the frankincense. Some of them need only shemen and not frankincense. Some of them frankincense and not shemen. And some of them neither frankincense nor shemen. Now we're going to go through the list of what we need. Elu tu'unot shemen u'levona. These are the ones that need both shemen.
Because they're always going to miss something.
Ah, right. Yeah, usually. In this case, I actually don't think they... Well, we'll see. They actually do miss one, because there's going to be one mentioned later that they don't mention here. But that's also, it was one that was done at a one-time event, and that's why. Which makes sense that the Mishnah wouldn't bother mentioning it. Although, we're going to see that the Braita does mention it. So these are the ones that need Shemen and Levona. Minchata Solet. Okay, that's the regular offering. Okay, maybe even before we start reading, let's read Perek Bet of Vayikra. Okay, I brought you the whole Perek. We won't read through everything, but this will give us a good basis for what we're doing. V'nefesh ki takriv. So the first pasuk is an individual, a nefesh. So a nefesh ki takriv korban mincha la Hashem, solit ye korbano. That's the minchat solit. Okay, so we have an individual decides to bring a voluntary mincha offering. He brings it with solit. It's made from solit. V'yatzaka la Hashem v'natana la levona. Notice there it says, okay, we're going to... It's very important to know for today's structure. When it talks about the minchas solet, it says it needs shemen and levona. Okay, it needs both of those. Then, it's only going to say shemen and levona by two of them, okay? Then it talks about, okay, so that's our classic, what do? You take a kmitza, right? The kohen takes the kmitza, and then he burns it, and whatever's left goes to the kohen. Then, the next pasuk we're going to look at is pasuk dalet. Then we're going to have ki takriv korban minchat ma'afet tanur. Okay, now there's different types of minchas. If you remember, so the minchat solet could be regular minchat solet. It could come in a it could be a ma'afet tanur. Then it would be solet chalot matzah blulot b'shamen urikikei matzot meshuchim b'shamen. There's a machlok at whether you can either bring chalot or rikikei matzot or you're supposed to bring half-half. It's 10 loaves, okay? It's always going to be 10 loaves, and then you bring half-half. Okay, then there's im minchat marcheshet. Okay, there's the marcheshet. I'm sorry, I skipped. Hey is im minchal machvat and im minchat marcheshet. These, all five of these, and that's why I put them in my chart. Okay, there's a sheet for today on the chart. You can see that I put the solet, machvat, marcheshet, chalot, and rikikin, which are really five different types, okay, or maybe four, because the chalot and rikikim could either be half-half or either-or, in which case they're separate types. Those are all basically minachot nidava that you bring from solet, and it's just a matter of how you prepare them. Okay, now the next one, okay, in this perek, then it just says, I'm skipping now to perek yud, pasuk yud aleph. There's our pasuk we darshened the other day. Kol minchas shetakrivu l'Hashem lo te'aseh chametz, ki kol sor v'chol dvash lo tatir mimeni v'shel Hashem. That was yesterday's taf. Korban reshit takrivu otam l'Hashem ve'el mezbeach lo yalu l'reach nichoach. And then it talks about kol korban minchatcha v'melach timlach v'chol lo tashpi melach britcha brit olam me'al minchatcha kol korban chatakriv melach. You need melach. We saw that pasuk a long time ago. So now, basically, that whole parak bet was all about the five types of Nidava offerings. It ends with, and again, there it said you need Shemen and Levona, and the assumption is that that applies to all of those cases in the Perek. Then it says, V'im takriv minchat bikurim laHashem, aviv kaloi ba'esh, gerash v'karmel takriv minchat bikurecha, okay, which is considered the minchata omer, v'natata ale haShemen v'samta ale Levona minchahi. So then you have to put shemen and levona. So also by the minchata omer, we have shemen and levona. Those are the only places in the Torah where it says specifically what you have to bring. Okay? And this is, you know, we bring this on the 16th of Nisan, and it goes along with the korbana omer. Okay, so now we basically have all those cases. So if you look at the chart for a minute, even though we haven't seen this inside, it's going to cover the first section, which are all those five of the Minchat Solat, Machvat, Marchesha, Chalon, and Rikikin, and the Minchat HaOmer. Okay, the other cases it doesn't say explicitly. Okay, so now let's read it in the Mishnah. So yesh tunot shemen ulevanah, I'm going to start from the beginning again. Shemen below levanah, levanah below shemen, lo levanah below shemen. So eile tunot shemen ulevanah. Minchat HaSolat, Vamachvat, Vamarcheshet, Vachalot, Varikikin. That's everything we just saw inside. Minchat Kohanim, that's if a Kohen decides to bring an offering, if you remember, a Mincha offering, a voluntary. The whole thing gets burned, different from the first category of items that we saw, where only the Kometz gets burned and the rest goes to the Kohanim. Minchat Kohen Mashiach, that's the Minchat Chavitin that the Kohen Gadol brings every day, which also gets entirely, I forgot what happens to it. It gets Minchat Kohanim. I keep forgetting all the details of everything. It gets completely burned.
Yeah, it gets completely burned.
Right. He brings it. They split it half-half, but I think it gets completely burned.
Half in the morning, half in the afternoon.
Okay, fine. That makes sense. It gets completely burned. And then Minchat Oved Kochavim. Okay, there's actually a machloket about an Oved Kochavim, whether he brings a mincha or not, it goes along with his korban, or even if he wants it voluntarily, there's actually a machloket. This Mishnah only sides with one side of the machloket, who says that, in fact, he does bring a mincha. And Minchat Nashim, okay, which seems a little strange. Rashi says, what's a Minchat Nashim? Isha Shit Nadva Mincha. Now, why you would think that would be different from a Geber, I'm not so sure. The only reason I thought that maybe you would think, although it's a little bit far-fetched to say, because the Sota woman, the mincha that goes with the Sota offering is a little different, so maybe you would have thought, it doesn't need Shemen or Levonah, so maybe you would have thought a mincha of a regular woman. But I don't know why. I'm not sure why they say that. I was actually wondering if someone actually thought maybe the Minchat Nashim would be something else. But Rashi says that. I didn't see anyone who said otherwise.
Would it be to distinguish her from a Yoledet that is doing it?
So I actually thought maybe it was a Yoledet. In other words, if a Yoledet, but a Yoledet. Right, a Yoledet. I'm just trying to remember if she ever brings, if she doesn't have enough money, then she brings the two birds. She doesn't, there's no option for her to bring a Mincha, right? It's not. Shakita Zuria, let me just look. Mushlishim Yom. No. Veshishim Yom. No. There is no. Wait. Ah. No. She just brings two birds. Right. I knew there was something. She didn't have enough money to bring the animal. Then she brings the two birds, see the one bird and her animal. But anyway. Okay. So that's why I assume they just think it's that. I'm not sure why they specify. That is a separate category. And the Minchat HaOmer. The Minchat HaOmer is the one that we saw. Okay, so we're going to say Minchat Nashim is just like the Minchat of the Gvarim. Okay, so that one's obvious. Minchat Ovei Kochavim, we assume also it just falls into the category of regular voluntary offering. And the Minchat Kohen Mashiach and the Minchat Kohanim, or the more the Minchat Kohanim, we're going to have to see, and then from there I guess you get to the Minchat Kohen Mashiach, why that would be like the category of the voluntary. We're going to get to this in a braita, okay? So I want to make it very clear at this point, because otherwise it's going to be hard to understand the Gemara later, or the braita we're going to see, which is what's obvious from the psukim and what's not obvious from the psukim, okay? So the Minchat Kohen Kohanim and Minchat Kohen Mashiach is less obvious, and the next categories we're going to see, most of them are also not explicitly in the text, okay? Let's talk about which ones? Minchat Nesachim. Now we're up to the next category. That's the mincha that goes along with a korban that you bring. Tuna shemen ve'ein tuna levona. Just needs oil, but not the frankincense. That does not appear anywhere in the psukim. Okay, that's why I bolded it in the chart. We're going to have to figure out why. Lechem hapanim ta'un levona ve'ein ta'un shemen. We know it needs levona, but we don't know that it doesn't need shemen. So that's also not explicitly in the psukim, right? We know the lechem hapanim there with the two bezichei levona. Shtei alechem, also it doesn't say. Okay, now we're up to the last category. Lo levona velo shemen, the classic ones that we know are the minchat chote and the minchat knaot of the sota. Because there it says, since it's a jealousy thing and since it's a sinner's thing, so you don't bring anything with it. It's a simple korban, right? It doesn't have anything with it. But the lechem the shtei alechem, it doesn't say anywhere. So we're going to have to see where we get that the shtei alechem doesn't need levona and not shem. So, shtei alechem, minchat chote, minchat knaot, Ain't unin lo shemen v'lo levona. Okay, the first thing we're going to have is something that's a big subject of debate, what exactly he means here. Amra papa, kol echa detnan, eser tnan. Lafuke midrabi shimon, ta'amar, mechza chalo, u mechza rikikim yavi. Kamash malan dilo. Rapapa says, anytime it's talking about any of the menachot, you bring 10 loaves with it. This is explanation number one of what Rapapa is saying. And that's to exclude from Rabbi Shimon, in other words, he says you bring 10 loaves of each type, where Rabbi Shimon said, and I already made reference that there's machloket, that when you bring the mincha ma'afet tanur, where it says in the Torah, it could be, right, chalot matzah pelulot bashamen, or kike matzah meshuchim bashamen. According to Rabbi Shimon, it's half chalot and half rikikim, meaning five and five. And Rabbi Papa is saying it's 10 of each. Okay? Now, some people say that doesn't make any sense that that's what Rabbi Papa is saying, because we don't bring 10 of everything. How do we know we don't bring 10 loaves of everything? Because, for example, when it comes to the lechem apanim, there's 12 loaves. We know that. So what does he mean, you always bring 10? So some people say that what he means is that there's 10, there's a list of 10. In other words, the Mishnah talks about 10 categories of things that need shemen and levonah. So there's the first five, if you look at your chart, that are the solet, machvat, marcheshet, chalot, and rikikin. And then there's the next five, which are kohanim, kohen, mashiach, ovei, kohavim, nashim, b'minchat ha'omer. Now, how does he disagree with Rabbi Shimon? Because Rabbi Shimon views chalot and rikikin as two, as one and the same, and not nine. In other words, he says there's 10 here. And what's he trying to say? That I disagree with Rabbi Shimon, who holds the chalot and rikikim come together, and therefore there's really only 9. Okay? So there's a bit of a debate about what exactly he means and what his point is and what he's trying to teach you. I mean, he's trying to teach you that he disagrees with Rabbi Shimon about the mechza chalot and mechza rikikim. Question is, how does he get there? Okay, now to the real basis of what we're doing today. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to have a braita. Okay, this is classic. We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah is, like we said, a very typical structure. There's 4 different permutations, and it's a good way to remember it, right? You remember there's ones with shemen, with levana, ones without, with one, without the other. And you can sort of keep it in your head and remember them and memorize them. That's what the Mishnah were meant to memorize. But it doesn't tell you at all, I already kind of introduced the psukim into the picture because we're going to learn the Gemara on this, doesn't introduce at all where we get this from the psukim. As I mentioned, the minchat solet, and we can assume the 5 that go, right, all those 5 categories, machvat, marcheshet, chalot, and rikikim, all, it says explicitly in the pasuk. The minchat omer, it says explicitly in the pasuk. The nashim avei kochavim, we can kind of learn from there. But where do we learn about the minchat kohanim? And with that, I would say the Kohen Mashiach, the Minchat Nesachim, the Lechem Apanim, and the Shteya Lechem. Where are we going to learn those from about what's true about them? Doesn't appear anywhere in the Psukim. And like I said, Minchat Chotei, Minchat Knaot, it says explicitly in the Psukim. So we're going to have to figure out now it's going to be sort of a game, I would say, of the Braita, to take the Psukim and darshan them in order to get from what says in the Psukim to what where it doesn't say and what the rabbis claim. Tana Rabbanan, Vinatata Alea Shemen. Okay, so now we're going to darshan the pasuk about the Minchat HaOmer. Okay, so again, look at your pasukim. In Vayikra, Perek Bet, Pasuk Tevav, it says, by Im Tekriv Minchat Pikurim, that was the pasuk before, that's the Minchat HaOmer. V'natata Aleh Shemen, V'santa Aleh Levona Minchahi. So we're going to darshan, as you can see from the chart, 4 sections of that pasuk. V'natata Aleh Shemen, V'santa Aleh Levona Minchahi. All those 4 are going to be drashot that are going to teach us all the other halachot that we were looking for. So here goes. V'natata ala shemen, v'lo alechem apanim. Okay? In other words, this gets shemen, but not something else. What's excluded? Lechem apanim. Now, what the Gemara is going to do after is say, okay, well, let's understand. Okay, that's the rest of this chart here. Why lechem apanim? It is, why not something else? Or, whoa. Okay, we're going to get to that soon. So first we're just going to read the Braita, then we're going to kind of expand on the Braita and break it apart and understand it better. So number 1 drasha is natata la'ashemen and not on the lechem apanim. Sheyachol, oh sorry, the Braita can do this, my mistake. Later they're going to darshan, they're going to say why this and not something else. What might you have thought? Yachol v'halodinhu. You might have thought it was like a logical argument. Uma minchat nesachim she'ena tu'una levona tu'una shemen. If the minchat nesachim, which doesn't need levona, and does need shemen, right? That's where the Mechat Nesachim is now, even though we don't yet know that, but okay, and that's bolded because we don't yet know that from the Psukim, but they're going to say, since the Mechat Nesachim doesn't need Levona and yet needs shemen, so the Lechem HaPanim Sheta'un Levona, what do we know about the Lechem HaPanim? We obviously know it needs the frankincense because it says so in the Psukim. So if the Mechat Nesachim doesn't need the Minchat Nesachim needs shemen, but it doesn't need levona. So you might have thought that what? The Lechem HaPanim, sheta'un levona, ein odin sheta'un shemen. The logic would state that if it needs frankincense from the Torah, then it would also need shemen. Now, obviously, you can make the other argument. The Torah bothered to tell you levona and didn't say shemen. Maybe there was a reason. But right now, they're kind of, this is the way the Gemara likes to, or the Braita like to offer up tons of different logical arguments one could make. So why do you need, the question here is, why do you need to exclude Lechem HaPanim? Because you would have said, if Minchat Nesachim, which doesn't need Levona and yet needs Shemen, so a place where it needs Levona, like the Lechem HaPanim, ain't no deen, that it would need Shemen. And therefore, Talmud Lamar, Aleha. That's why it says, Benatata Aleha Shemen. Only on this Shemen, Aleha is obviously this and not something else. Aleha shemen below alechem apanim shemen. Okay, that's the first drasha. Again, we're going to come back to this and understand it better. V'samta aleha levona. So now again, we're going to darshan aleha. Now you put upon it frankincense. Aleha levona v'lo aminchat nesachim levona. Okay, you can put levona on this, but not on the minchat nesachim. Okay, now this is reverse logic, right? In the previous section, we assumed we knew about Minchat Nesachim. Here, we're just darshaning it. B'lom Minchat Nesachim Levona. How do we know? She'achol v'halo dinu. Now we're going to do the exact reverse logic. Uma lechem apanim she'eno ta'un shemen, and yet it's ta'un levona. Once we establish that the lechem apanim doesn't need shemen, and we know it needs levona, so we would say, Minchat Nesachim Shetuna Shemen, Ein Odin Shetuna Levona. So wouldn't we say that? If we know the Minchat Nesachim needs Shemen, because it says in the Torah it needs Shemen, all the more so we would say, it needs Levona. Talmud Lamar, Aleha. And that's why it says, Aleha Levona. Velo Aminchat Nesachim Levona. Okay, so again, Aleha Levona. Remember, this, I just want to keep reminding you of some of the details that you might be forgetting. These psukim are all about the Minchat HaOmer. So we're saying, for the Minchat HaOmer, you need Levona, and not for the Minchat Nesachim. Okay, Mincha, the next line, the next word. Mincha is coming to tell you, Lirabot, all of a sudden we're having not Lima'et, right? Aleha means just on this. But now it sort of generalizes. It says it's a Mincha. So what does that mean? Lirabot, and remember I told you earlier that there was one Mincha that the Mishnah neglected to mention. And what's that? Lirabot minchat shmini lelivona. Okay, what's that? The mincha that they brought on the eighth day of, what was the eighth day? Of the miluim. The one time, it was a one time thing, and that's why we said the Mishnah didn't mention it, because it wasn't something that we need to know for the future. So mincha comes to include the minchat shmini, that on the eighth day of the miluim, when they brought the mincha, they brought it with levona. Okay? Even though that's my assumption, is it was a type of Minchat Nesachim. It went along with the Korbanot, and yet it was with Livona. So that's Mincha comes Lirabot, and again we're going to have Lima'et. He, the word he, Mincha he all of a sudden means only this, right? The Mincha was generalizing, and he is specifying. Lehotzi shtei halechem. Now we get to the he. Now, when we had the aleha, so the aleha was with the shemen, and the aleha was with the levona, so we were mema'et something that had, you know, didn't have levona or didn't have shemen. But when we get to the he, now it relates to the whole pasuk as in general, which had both shemen and levona. So when we say he, it means something else that we didn't know about in the verses, as opposed to the mincha kote and the mincha knot that we knew from the pasukim, something else doesn't need shemen, it doesn't need levona. Which one is that? The shtei halecha. Okay, this is all very nice, but the problem with this all is that it's very arbitrary. Who's to say we should be the Shtei Alechem and the Minchat Nesachim and Lechem HaPanim? We could have, you know, sort of interchanged. Now, the Minchat Nesachim and Lechem HaPanim makes a little bit of sense, because by Minchat Nesachim it says Shemen, and by Lechem HaPanim it says Levona. So it's also kind of logical that. And then you could see why they would have come up with that. Because if it says Levona, reasonable, they meant Levona, not Shemen. If they said Shemen, reasonable, they meant Shemen and not Levona. And by the Shealachim, it didn't say anything, so that's where they get to this. But in any case, the Gemara wants to sort of analyze it even more and talk about similarities between. Okay, I started charting these out. I didn't finish all my charts. But we're going to say, we're going to basically do, oh, well, it's like this and this way. And then they're going to say, what do you mean? It's more similar to that and that way. Okay, and they're going to say, what made you choose this over that? Okay, they're going to raise possibilities. Amar Mar. So Amar Mar always means we're going to go back to something we said. That whole thing we read was all a Braita. Now the Gemara is referring back to the Braita. Aleha Shemen velo Alechem Apanim Shemen. So now they say, Ema, why didn't the Braita say, Aleha Shemen velo Minchat Kohanim Shemen? The Minchat Kohanim we know nothing about. So why didn't we say, why are we assuming the Minchat Kohanim needs Shemen and Levona? This is a good question, right? When it didn't say anything, it is at least... You could say, Minchat Nesachim Alechem Apanim, it said something. But why are we going to say here, Aleh Hashem and Belom Minchat Kohanim Shemen? Why didn't we say that? And why did we exclude Lechem Apanim? And Minchat Kohanim got into the category of Shemen and Levona. So they say, Mistabra Minchat Kohanim Havale L'Ribuye. It makes more sense to say that the Minchat Kohen would have been included in the same category as the Minchat HaOmer. And the minchat nisachim, the lechem apanim would be excluded. Why? Shekain, here we're going to see all the ways that the minchat kohanim is similar to the minchat haomer, and the lechem apanim is not. Okay, I forgot to mention that there's a question about the lechem apanim, where is it ever called a mincha? If you remember, one time we did see it referred to as a mincha, but some people question why this is even here in the mincha categories. But anyway, Shekain, isaron. Okay, both of them are one Isaron. The Minchat HaOmer is one Isaron of Solet. So is the Minchat Kohanim. The Lechem HaPanim is two Esronim. Kli, it goes into a Kli Sharet. You mix the dough in a Kli Sharet. Whereas if you recall with the Lechem HaPanim, it becomes sanctified. You don't mix it in a Kli Sharet. It becomes sanctified when you put it in the oven. Chutz. Chutz is that it... Right, you... right. It all happens outside the Hechal. Whereas where does the bread get organized? Inside the Hechal on the Shulchan. So all the others happen outside and this one happens inside, right? Because they're all done in the Mizbech, the outer Mizbech. Vitzura, okay, Tzura is that it... Right, okay, Tzura, right, I kept forgetting what this was. This is what we keep calling, you have to laber Tzurato, or I forget the wording they use. If you have to leave something overnight, we saw the other day, you leave it overnight, to ubar tsuratan. So that tsura means lina. It means it gets disqualified if you leave it overnight, whereas the lechem apanim, we know, lasted an entire week. There's no disqualification of overnight. Hagasha, they all need to be brought to the mizbeach, whereas the lechem apanim doesn't need to be brought to the mizbeach. The ishim and the minchat haomer and the minchat kohanim get burned on the mizbeach, and there's no burning of the lechem apanim. So here you see, it makes more sense to put the minchat kohanim in the same category as minchat haomer. So then they say, no, adrabah, I can prove, you want to say it's similar in these ways, I can give you a bunch of ways that lechem apanim is more similar to minchat haomer than the minchat kohanim. What is that? Mistabra, I lost my place. Adrabah. Lechem apanim havaleh l'ribuyeh. Shekein tzibura. It's a communal offering. So is the minchat haomer, right? It was a communal offering. Chova. It's obligatory. Okay. I actually was wondering, I don't know the answer to this, but if you notice, in the Pesukim, it's very odd. In Pasuk Yudale, when it introduces the Minchat HaOmer, it says, Ve'im takriv mincha bikurim la'Hashem. It sounds like it's a nidava, but it's not. It's a chova. Tamya, it could be hutar betum'ah, because it's once something's sibur, it's a little tricky, because here is a little bit of a kvetch. If you're doing a numbers game, how many ways is it similar? This is really one and the same. Once you say it's sibur, then it goes along with... It's hutra b'tzibur. If everyone becomes tameh, then it's allowed. De'achil, it gets eaten. Okay, the lechem apanim and the minchat haomer. Right, the minchat haomer, part of it gets eaten, whereas the minchat kohanim, the whole thing gets offered. Pigula, okay, now this is also connected. Once something's mutar ba'achila, if you do the burning of part of it, or the lechem apanim, once you burn the bezichim, you can eat the lechem apanim. That's what we call that it matirs something else. Once something matir something else, we can have a din of pigul. Because what's pigul? Pigul is, I think, that at a later stage, right, the matir, when I'm doing the matir, the thing that allows something else, I have a thought about what I'm going to do with the other part. So pigul is only when there's a matir. Whereas in the minchat kohanim, the whole thing gets burned. There is no matir. b'shabta, it's mutar b'shabbat, okay, which also goes along because it's a tziburi, right? In other words, the lechem apanim was all done on Shabbat. That's when they would switch the breads. I mean, it was done every day, but it wasn't really done. It was just left there. But on Shabbat, that was when they would make the change. And with the minchat haomer, right, it can be docheh Shabbat. Okay, whereas the minchat kohanim is not. So there you see, right, there were six ways. The first one was similar, and 6 ways it was similar to the other one. So why are you going to say more logical that the minchat kohanim was included and the lechem apanim was excluded? Mistabra nefesh. Now, what's interesting is they go back to, okay, this is why I set it up by starting with the psukim. We started off in the beginning of, there were two places where it says shemen and levona. One is the minchat haomer, which is what our whole drasha is based on. But another is the minchat soled, okay, which starts off the perek, and there it says nefesh ki takriv korban mincha l'Hashem soled. So what do we say there? Since it says nefesh, what's nefesh? An individual offering. So therefore, if we're going to include something and exclude something else, and this is where all our drashot are going to come back to, this word nefesh. Since it says nefesh there, we're going to assume individual korbanot are more likely to have shemen and levona as opposed to communal. Okay, so it's a little tricky, and that's why you have to understand the whole setup, because the drashot are all based on the minchat haomer, but in the end they jump back to the minchat soled of the individual voluntary mincha. Okay, now we're going to do the same basic thing, but with different details. Amar mar aleha levona velo minchat nesachim levona. So now again we're going to say why do we exclude the minchat nesachim? Ema aleha levona. V'lo aminchat kohanim levona. Why don't you say aleha levona, but not on the minchat kohanim levona? Right? Again, why didn't you exclude the minchat kohanim? Okay, the same thing here. But now they're going to say mistabra minchat kohanim havale l'ribuye. You would have thought that if we're going to compare the minchat haomer to the minchat kohanim, it's similar because shekein isaron. Now they're going to use different ones. Why do they have to use different ones? Because aren't we comparing the same thing, the minchat haomer and the minchat kohanim? Well, it's true, we're comparing the same things, but we're comparing them to something else. So we can't use things that would be also the Minchat Nesachim. Some of those were also true for the Minchat Nesachim. We have to find something that's similar between the two and not the same for the Minchat Nesachim. If you want to turn the air on, close the door, it's getting hot, but up to you. Okay, so now what do they say? Ema, aleha levona velo minchat kohanim levona. So now they're going to say mistabra minchat kohanim havale l'ribuye. You would have thought the minchat kohanim we should have included. Why? Shekein, in other words, minchat kohanim is more similar to the minchat haomer. Why? Shekein isaron. Okay, again, that's the same. It's made of one isaron, if you remember. The minchat nesachim, we learned this just the other day, depending on if it was the par and the ayil and the keves, right? It's either two esronim, or it's three esronim. You remember? So there was a. So therefore, it's not always an isaron. Balul below. Oh wait, 1 second. Is it right? Shnei esronim par, shlosha esronim ayel, v'isaron lakeves. Just the keves is an isaron, but the par and the ayel are shnei esronim or shlosha esronim. And then balul belog. Remember, there was either it's six log or four log or three log. Okay, so basically, it's not a log, whereas the Minchat Kohanim was a log to an Isaron, as was the Minchat Haomer, was a log to an Isaron. Mugash, it was had Hagashah to the Mizbeach, whereas the Minchat Nesachim doesn't need Hagashah. That's going to appear in a Mishnah later in the Masechet, that it doesn't need Hagashah. The Hagashah, if you remember, is bringing it to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Biglal Etzen. Okay, this, you might think etzem is bones, because we're talking near korbanot, even though we're talking about mincha offerings, which don't have bones. Biglal etzem doesn't mean etzem bone, it means biglal atzman. They come on account of themselves, as opposed to the minchat nesachim, which comes on account of a sacrifice. So that's why minchat kohanim is more similar to minchat haomer, and minchat nesachim was excluded. But now they're obviously going to say, what about, I could claim the other, the reverse. Adraba, minchat nesachim havalei l'ribuye, shekein, tzibura. Okay, first of all, it's not always Tzibura, but it's often Tzibura. When the Tzibura brings an offering, so it has a Minchat Nesachim that goes with it. Choba, that Minchat Nesachim is obligatory. Itame, could be Hutar B'Tum'ah, because it's Tzibura. B'Shabta, you could bring it on Shabbat. And therefore, it has those similarities. Now, notice there's less similarities, but still there's similarities. So again, the Gemara says, Mistabra Nefesh. Okay, again, we're going to go with individual offerings, whereas the Mekat Nesachim are more communal offerings. Okay, next Rasha. Mincha, Lerabot Mincha Shmini Lelevona. To include, right here we're now including. So now they say, Ve'im Alehotzi. Why don't you say, why don't we exclude it? Why are you all of a sudden including? Why don't you say it comes to exclude? So now they say, hi, my, what on earth are you suggesting here? Iyamar bishlama lirabot shapir. It makes a lot more sense to say it would come to include, not to exclude. Why? Because iyamar lahutzi lamali sha'ami darot lo yalfinan. We would never have even thought to learn something that happened on a one-off from something that's for future generations. So why would we have thought, we never would have thought to include it. So therefore, it must be, Lahotzi, you wouldn't have thought, right, since you would never have thought to include it, there would be no point to say we're excluding it, right? So if it's going to teach us something about it, it must be teaching us to include. He, Lahotzi, you could have also answered that the way when I described the drasha, mencha seems to be a more general term, which also would explain it. This is just one way of explaining it. I think there's other ways also. He lahotzi shteh lechem. Okay, so now again we get to excluding. The last one is excluding the shteh lechem. Shelo yitanu lo shemen velo levona. So again, they're going to say ve'ema lahotzi minchat kohanim. Maybe it's coming to exclude minchat kohanim. Mistabra. Notice they keep going back to the minchat kohanim. Why is that? Because that's the one I mentioned. That and the kohen mashiach. It doesn't say explicitly in the text it needs shemen and levona. Again, it doesn't say by all of them, but most of them can be very obviously learned out, whereas that one's a bit of a different category. So, Mistabra, Mincha Kohanim, Havalei L'Ribuyei. Again, we're going to talk about all the similarities. Shekein Isaron, okay, whereas the Shteh Alechem was, I think it was Shnei Esronim, the Shteh Alechem, I forget. Does it say? I think it's two Esronim.
Do those Gemara chunks of Mincha
say?
Have
what?
Korbanot have Mincha?
Oh, I don't know if they have. I don't know. I didn't notice. Okay. But I think it's, I don't see it here. Yeah, Shnei Esronim. Okay, Shnei Esronim, that appears in the Pasuk. Okay, so the Mincha, the Shtei Alechem has Shnei Esronim, whereas the Mincha Kohanim and the Mincha HaOmer have one Yisaron. I'm also placed. Okay, kli, again, they're sanctified in a kli, whereas the Shteh Alechem is not. Matzah, right, the Shteh Alechem is unique that it comes chametz. Etzem, it comes, right, they come bifnei atzmam, whereas the Shteh Alechem comes as an alongside with the kibsei atzeret, and one could say the opposite, that really it's the Shteh Alechem and the atzeret come, but okay, but I guess they don't come on their own, and they don't come by themselves, they come with something. Hagasha. Okay, those two need hagashah, whereas you don't have to bring the shteh alechem lagish lemizbeach. V'ishim, and they get burned, and the shteh alechem don't get burned. So, again, you see it's very similar. Now they say, what do you mean? Adrabah, shteh alechem havalei l'ribuyei, shekein, tzibur. Okay, they're both all communal offerings, the shteh alechem, and now we're going to see there's a lot of similarities here. Okay, tzibur, chova. Okay, they're both obligatory, the shteh alechem and the minchata omer. Tameh, they can both be brought Betuma, because Tuma Hutra Betzibor. De'achal, they get eaten. Pigula, there's pigul, because there's a mat here where there isn't by the Mincha Kohanim, because the whole thing gets burned. Bishabta, you can do them on Shabbat. Matir, there's a matir element. There's something that matirs, okay? Now, this is more than just the Omer matirs all the new wheat to be eaten, right? And the Shteh Alechem. Right, Shteh Alechem b'mikah. Right, the Omer Matir is chadash in the Medina. Rashi says in the whole around, but not in the Mikdash. And only once you bring the Shteh Alechem. By the way, the Shteh Alechem, we're going to see this in a minute, was brought also from the new wheat. Okay, it was brought from the new crop, and it was the first time that allows the new wheat to be brought in the Mikdash. Okay, the Omer Matir is it only for outside the Mikdash, but the Shteh Alechem matirs it for in the Mikdash. So they're both matiring the something having to do with the new wheat. Tnufa, you have to wave them both. Ba'aretz, okay, you can only bring them, since they're maturing the new wheat, you can only bring them for the wheat from Eretz Israel. Bisman, they have a very specific time where they're supposed to be Roth and Mechada Omer on the 16th, right? That was one of the big debates with the Karaim or the Shomronim about the dates, because Mimacharat HaShabbat. And the Shtei Alechem was on Shavuot, whereas the Mincha Koni could be brought any time. And Chadash, okay? And they're both come from the new wheat, okay? V'hanei Nefishin, and that's way more similarities than the previous one. We finally have a case where, you know, the other direction has a lot more. Again, they say, Mistabra Nefesh. Better to learn it from Nefesh, which is singular. Okay, new mission. V'chayav al ha-shemen b'fnei atzmo, v'chayav al-levona b'fnei atzma. Let's say you put both shemen and levona in a mincha, but you're not allowed to put shemen or levona. Okay, we're now talking about where it says, you know, lo yasim al ha-shemen. But, okay, here, in the Korban Chatat, for example, in Vayikra Hey, when you bring the Minchat Chote, it says, lo yasim ala shemen, v'lo yitain aleha levona. Assume we're going to darshan this yasim, okay, lo yasim shemen, v'lo yitain ala levona. Okay, so what if you put them both on? Your chayav malkot twice. Natan aleha shemen, psala, levona yilaktena. But now we're going to see that it's a little different. If you put shemen, it disqualifies the mincha offering. If you put levona, you just have to take it off. You have to remove it. It doesn't disqualify the offering. You're over on a low taseh, but you can remove it, and then it doesn't disqualify it. We're going to get into more detail in the Gemara. Natan shemen al shiareha, if you put oil on the shirayim, ain't over below taseh. Okay, and there's actually a debate. It's not clear what you would say from here. Is it mutar lechatchila? Or is it just that you're not over on a low taseh, but you shouldn't do it? Okay, there's a debate among the Rishonim about this halacha. Natan kli al gabe kli. This is a classic, like smart alecky question. Okay, it says lo yitain aleha shemen, lo yasim aleha shemen. Now yasim aleha sounds like what if I put a bowl of shemen on top of the bowl that the mincha offering was inside? That's putting on top of it shemen. So the Mishnah says lo psala. That doesn't disqualify it, okay? Because it means, and we're going to see later on the Gemara is going to charge, means actually put it inside the dough, not on top of. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Lo, so now the Gemara is going to start by quoting again a braita. Lo yasim aleha shemen, v'im sam pasal. Okay, so lo yasim aleha, and if you do, it disqualifies it. So if that's the case, now the braita is going to say, yachol lo yitain aleha levona, v'im natan pasal. And you might have thought the same thing would hold true with the levona. Tamud lamar, okay, now you have to read the rest of that pasuk. Ki chatat hi, it says. So because it says ki chatat, they explain, it's still called a chatat. Now notice the way the pasuk goes. Lo yasim aleha shemen. And then, lo yitain aleha levona ki chatati. So they're connecting the chatat to the levona. If you put levona, it's still called a chatat. It's not disqualified. Yachol af b'shemen. You might have thought this is also true for shemen. Once you're going to say that, why doesn't it refer to the whole thing? Tamu lamar hi. Again, the word hi is coming lima'ed. So what's coming lima'ed? Shemen. So now, it's exactly the same structure as the previous. Da, amud. Uma ra'ita l'sol b'shemen l'achshir b'levona. Right? Why would you say, dafka shemen's posel and levona is not? Posel ani b'shemen she'yefshar l'lakto. Ah, shemen, once you pour shemen in, you can't take out all the oil. But machshir ani b'levona she'yefshar l'lakto. Remember, we saw they were sort of like crystals. So the crystals you could take off. So now comes the classic question. Ba rabba bar barchana mi rabbi yochanan. Natan aleha levona shchuka ma'u. What if it was ground up into such small pieces that you actually couldn't remove it? Mishum de efshar lelakta, v'ha lo efshar lelakta. Do you say it's only not disqualified because you can actually remove it? O dilma mishum de lo mivla, v'ha nami lo mivla. Or is it because it doesn't really get absorbed? Shemen obviously gets absorbed immediately into the dough, but the frankincense, even if it's ground up, it doesn't really get absorbed. So they're going to try some possibilities to find answers. Tashma, let's learn from this source, from our Mishnah. It says ulivona yilaktena. Right, which sounds like it's only because you can remove it, has nothing to do with it, it doesn't get absorbed. Which would mean shchuka would be a problem. So they say, no, dilma chadeva od kamar. Maybe it's just adding another reason, but it's obvious that because it doesn't get absorbed, and in addition, you can also remove it. So then, chade delo mivla, right? In other words, obviously it doesn't get absorbed. Ve'od, and additionally, yilaktena, and also you can remove it. So, can't necessarily learn from there. They're going to do the exact same thing with the next source. Tashma, let's learn from this source. Machshir ani b'livona, she'efshar l'lokta. Here there's a braita that says, and it's mutar, you know, it's not disqualified with livona because you can remove it. Sounds like, because you can remove it. Again, they're going to say, hachanami chad va'od kamar. It could be not only that it doesn't get absorbed, but also it can be removed. So that doesn't prove anything. So my havela, so what's the story? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Tanya minchat chote uminchat kenaot shenatan aleha levona. Okay, here's the bright minchat chote minchat kenaot. It says right, you can't put shem and you can't put levona. Shenatan aleha levona milaket et halevona ukshera. You can take off the levona and it's okay. Ve'imad sheloli ket levonata. Now, what if you haven't yet removed the levona, and then chishev aleha? And then you had a pigul machshava about it. Now, what did we learn about pigul? If it's disqualified for other reasons, then it's pigul doesn't apply. So let's see what it says here. Chishev aleha ben chutz lezmano ben chutz lemkomo pasul ve'en bo karet. It's disqualified, but there's no karet. Ve'im yishelikei levonotam chashev aleha chutz lemkomo pasul ve'en bo karet chutz lezmano pigul ve'chayavin aleha karet. If you already remove the levona and then you do pigul, then it's pasul ve'ein bo karet. But if you do chutz lezmano, it's going to be pigul v'chayavim ala karet, which means there is pigul after. So now, right, this proves, one second, this proves that if it was just that it didn't get absorbed, that it doesn't get absorbed, then it should be, right, then it should be, one second, but it's if it's shchuka, it's only if you can remove it. But right, because here it all depends on whether you remove it or not. But it shows then that it's not that it's going to be disqualified if it's shchuka and it's absorbed inside. Okay, because otherwise it wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be dependent on just removing it. It would have been okay, even if it would have been okay from the beginning. It would have been pigul at the beginning because it hadn't gotten absorbed. Okay, so therefore there's your proof. Okay, v'tahavi pach. Okay, so now they say, why wouldn't you look at this when the livona is on it as if you put like a pach of shemen on it, okay, which would mean that if that's the case, it's not ra'oi at all, in which case, pigul, okay, what's this implying? This is implying that there's sort of pigul there, but it can't yet take effect, okay? But amai psala b'machshava, dachoy hu. This should be considered dachoy. Okay, that it's, one second. Right, while you put the levona on it, it should be considered already rejected. Okay? Like while the levona is on it, it's dachoy. And therefore, the machshava shouldn't do anything because it's not even a korban at that point. It's not anything that could be sacrificed. So therefore, after you take the levona off the mincha, it should be totally fine. Your pigul machshava should be like eliminated entirely. So now they're going to give three answers. Okay, Amar Abaye, chatat kruya rachmana. Abaye says it's a special drasha. Since it says chatat, right? It's called chatat. Because it's called chatat, okay, even while the levon is on it, it's still going to be called a chatat, and therefore it's going to be pasul. From the pigul is going to apply to it. Rava Amar, hamane chanana mitzriyu, delayt le dechuyin. We've learned this before. Chanana mitzri doesn't believe in dachoy. Okay, in other words, one is to say it's a special, that really it should be dachoy, but because it says chatat, in this case it's not dachoy. One is to say there is no din of dichoy. D'tanya, chanana mitzri omer, afilu dam bekos, mevi chavero shelo b'hagala u'mezaveglo. Remember this? If the animal, the seir, dies, then you have to take a, what does he say? Even if the dam is bekos, you don't need to do a whole new hagrala, you just bring a new one, right, and kind of pair it up with it. One second, maybe chavero shelo b'hagrala, right? And mizavigla, you don't have to start the whole process over again because he doesn't think that just because the animal died, right, you just bring a new seir in its place. Okay, you don't need to start the whole process from the beginning because he doesn't believe in dachoy. Rav Ashi Amar, fascinating answer. Kol shebiyado lo havei dachoy. Since this can be fixed, it's not called dachoy. In other words, dachoy is only something that we say is dachoy is only something that's entirely disqualified. This can be fixed by removing the levona. And because of that, he says it's not classic dachoy. Okay? And then Amarav, Ada kavated Rav Ashi mistamra. Deman shamalei di ledechuyin Rabbi Yehuda hi. I'm going to even prove Rav Ashi, because who holds there is such a thing as dafoy? Rabbi Yehuda. Titnan ve'odamar Rabbi Yehuda nishpach adam yamuta mishtalech. Meta mishtalech yishafech adam. Okay, he's the one who says this halacha. If the blood spills, the seer has to die. If the seer dies, then you have to spill the blood. You have to start all over again. Ve'ilu hecha de biyado. Okay, but when it's biyado, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't think it's dechoy. What's the case? We're going to finish with this. Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kos hayam imalei midamata rovot. If you remember on Pesach, what would they do? He says, there were tons of people doing the Korban Pesach. There was a likelihood that the blood was going to spill. So what does he say? Scoop it up. Remember, they would put a cock on the floor, right? Mimalei midamata rovot, vizarkos rikachat keneged hayisod. So what do you see here? That he holds that even something that was dechoy that spilled on the floor that you would think would be dechoy, since it can be fixed, you can pick it up off the floor, therefore it's not actually dechoy. So we have three options. Either it's a special limud, it is dechoy, but special limud chatati, we're calling it a chatati even though it was dechoy, and therefore it'll eventually be, you can bring, you know, the pigel will apply, the pigel applies somewhat while the livon is on it, or we don't hold dechoy, we hold by a chanan mitzri, this source, or even dechoy when it's biyado, it's not actually dechoy.